You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
All right, hold on. That seems ill-advised. Hang on one second.
Okay, why? Right, Andrew, here we are, episode number 159.
We're back. It's Sunday. It's 5:28 p.m. It's warm in here. I got the air conditioner going. I poured myself a hefty glass of scotch, but then we got talking before the intro, and now a good portion of it's gone, so this might get weird.
That's what friends do, man. Yeah. You just talk. You know, friends hash it out sometimes, man. It's not just all about jokes, man. Sometimes we talk. You know,
I hate that.
It's like a brotherhood.
Hate that like, shit. Hate talking.
I know, man. I'm sorry. You know, it's we leaned on each other. You know, sometimes when you lean on someone too hard, their back hurt.
I lead a reasonably solitary life. You know, like I got the things I like to do. I like the thing that I got the things I like to like explore and read about and whatnot. Gab is always you know, like going to beaches with people and like going out with her friends and whatnot. And every now and then she gets into this weird mode where she's like, you need to make some friends, man. You need to like, you need to get out.
You're like, God damn it, I have friends.
That's
I have
what
a
I'm
friend.
Saying. Yeah, my friend is fucking Nietzsche. All right. Fuck. My friend is Socrates. Leave me the fuck alone, man. It's
Come
okay.
On, man. Your friend is Hagar.
That's true. My friend is Hagar.
He wrote the best of both worlds about you, pal.
It's funny, though. Like, I think, because I do think about that sometimes. I'm like, well, maybe, you know, maybe there's a part of the world I'm sort of, like, missing. It seems so fucking obnoxious to go out with people and, like, do, and, like, oh, fucking.
I love it.
Listen to their problems. Oh.
Way late in life, have become a social person.
Wow.
Like, in the past maybe 2 years. Just, I love going out. Fuck it, sitting down next to a fire, take a gram, maybe drink a beer, hand someone else a beer, talk.
That's fascinating.
People you see all the time, just talking, you know, shooting the bull. It's great.
It sounds like they're filming Fast and Furious outside your window right now.
They certainly, you know, the block is hot, literally and figuratively. There's men down the street who, I think it's an interesting sociological commentary. They have very fast, very old, shitty cars, like Mazdas and Datsuns and shit. And they wait until the top of the hill, and they wait till the light turns green, and then they gun it.
Nice. Did I talk about this past 4th of July at all?
You did not.
All right. So, we just hung around the house, like cleaned up, had like a chill day, went out, got a few drinks. And Gab's friend Emily came over to the bar, and we were supposed to go to like her roof to watch fireworks. Yeah. She was like, you know, we're gonna go to somebody else's spot. It's a little better. We will stop by our spot first, and there's it's like a biker gang that lives down the street that always does like a pretty wild 4th of July fireworks show.
Sure.
And I'm not saying that I don't think people understand what they're talking about, but there was a lot of statements in there that are falsifiable. You know, like, and the thing is, like, I don't expect people to know what a real biker gang is or really what a real, like, fireworks show. You know what I mean? Like, I think my expectations versus the majority of people are different there, and I recognize that. So we left. And we went to her house, which is like in a pretty nice neighborhood. It's not far from the old Overnight Drive headquarters.
Wonderful.
There's a straight up biker gang on her street. Like, it's like Sons of fucking Anarchy down there. And they're lighting off fireworks for sure, professional fireworks, in the middle of this street, screaming. And there is a New York PD helicopter hovering 80 feet above off the ground just over them, because apparently they get so rowdy that they deserve their own helicopter this
year.
That's
awesome. Birds. They got a bird.
It was great. It was wonderful. And then everyone else wanted to go to the roof. I'm like, let's fucking stay here. I want to see how this goes. This looks so fucking good.
Was there any drama?
No, well, I mean, maybe there was. We did leave. We wound up going to some roof that I assumed somebody in our group of about 8 or 9 people knew someone at, but no. We just like waited for somebody to buzz in and just walked up some fucking roof that no one knew any residents of. It was good.
sounds great.
Yeah, I was really fascinated because so rarely do people say things that sound overdramatic to me that really come true. I expected it to be like 4 guys around a moped, just like lighting off fucking Roman candles. But no. It was legit.
It's like James. It's like Ray Liotta was there.
Yeah. Yes, it was just like Ray Liotta was there, except he was flying the helicopter.
He was like, nah. I remember when he got chased by the helicopter in Goodfellas and he freaked out.
Really good. Very good.
Really good. That's happened to me before. A lot of Staten Island footage in that movie. And it makes me feel like I'm going to my grandpa's house.
That's weird, because when they redo the house and it's fucking all like insane and gold-plated and mirrored and shit, it reminds me of my grandmother's house from when I was a child. It's fascinating.
Of course. I have not been enjoying the summer at all.
What's going on?
I've been hot. I've been sad. A lot of weird shit's going on. But I take little solace, tiny bits of solace, in the fact that Albany finally had a white power controversy.
Oh,
did you
fucking
hear anything about this?
Take me and throw me into the deep end of this. I've been looking forward to this conversation. You know what? I lied. I do like conversation. I do like just shooting this shit. Tell me all about it.
Are you familiar with what a Proud Boy is?
What if I just get drunker as this podcast? Like, if I just keep pouring it and, like, really around, like, the 28-minute mark, really start to, like, slur and, you know?
I had half a slice of cold pizza today, and I'm on beer 4.
Wow.
I'm right there with you, pal.
Jesus. All right.
and
I
took speed and Xanax, so I'm good.
Fuck.
We're flying high again.
All right, not to belabor the initial point. I do know what a Proud Boy is because when I rejoined Twitter, I decided that I only followed people that were like student lunatics. who believe you should go to jail for taking your shirt off in like public places and shit. So I decided that I would barbell it and I would find some real like right wing nuts too. And this was before the election.
Yes.
So that was just like an interesting thing. But then the election happened and I'm inundated by lunacy on all sides. It's a hard thing. So yeah, I'm familiar with the Proud Boys. I see Gavin McGinnis reasonably often in my life.
Drinking, no doubt drinking some sort of complicated coffee drink that he'll call somebody like a millennial, like a little snowflake worm if they get it wrong, if they get the drink wrong.
It's weird because he's got like this like James Bond villain persona, but I just see him like tooling down the street, like getting Starbucks or some shit. Like
the king and the idol to everybody. It's always the desktop computer in the living room. Men's rights. That's the mark of a fucking men's rights activist. Empty, alternately empty and half full, but have definitely been sitting there for a while. Dorito bags around a desktop computer that is used exclusively for trolling. He is he's their queen and king.
Yeah, yep, correct.
Because they don't like women, so whatever. He's just the overarching guy. He's the man in a... This has a lot of levels. This includes sartorial commentary about Fred
my
Perry
favorite.
Clothes and all kinds of shit. I've never worn a Fred Perry, but a lot of people do. And now, in Albany, if you wear one, you're labeled a racist, right? But only if it has yellow...
That's
right?
A quintessentially Albany way to fucking, like...
Holy moly.
Jesus, that is fucking lawn care by fire, as usual, for Albany. Well done. Just light
Albany
the whole fucking thing up.
This entire thing is lawn care by fire, and that's a great way to put it. Okay, so, fact is that in one of the greatest tattoo parlors of all time, and, you know, place that you want to go, if you want a really good... Like Red Rose.
Like a fucking a wizard.
Yeah. You know, if you're drunk and you want a quick tattoo because you've got in your head that after a lot of drinks, this is the greatest night of your life and you're with your friend, one friend, And you both get matching tattoos on, like, your ankle if you're girls. Or if you're dudes, you just, you know, you probably don't think about it. If you're girls, you get matching tattoos maybe on your lower back, that kind of thing. I'm not going to say tramp stamp, but what maybe up? You get something similar.
I just need some quick ink.
Yeah.
You got any, like, so appointments free for some quick ink? It's like, I like your tats. They're good tats.
Rev, you're going to get, like, an anthropology, like, arrow pointing, like, and I just want to, it just signifies that I'm just moving ever upward. Ever onward, like a steep trajectory of an arrow.
I got a tattooed like upside down because it's for me.
Yeah, like you put the underwear away at Forever 21, and then that's like your upward and onward fucking reminder. I'm like, no matter how hard I work, I know there's more for me out there, and that kind of shit. So you get that tattoo. That's the kind of spot, right? It's right across the street from Deftones the Bar, aka Cafe Hollywood.
Oh, that spot. Yeah, I got a tattoo there once.
Called Lark Street Tattoo.
Yeah, the guy was insistent on trying to, like, upsell me on more in the tattoo as though I hadn't, like, considered it. Like, I'm good. Thank you. I understand I get it. I do. Yeah, interesting. Lark Street. Yeah, okay.
In the grand spirit of things we love, Lark Street Tattoo, it fell victim to a anonymous conspiratorial website.
I'm going to hang out in Lark Street a lot when I'm up there in 2 weeks. I'm just going to walk up and down Lark.
You know what? We should do that. We should just shoot the whole thing. And speaking of shooting the whole thing, I've got a great idea that I'm going to tell everybody about.
Perfect.
We should shoot the whole thing and be like, hey, here we are in the hotbed of racism and race relations, Albany. And then we'll just show like people, like a guy in like cargo shorts drinking a cup of coffee and smoking a cigarette, like in front of bombers. But it became, for a day and a half, it became a he said, she said, they said situation where people were alternately saying, like, when a lot of uninformed people, and they try their best, but fake woke, uninformed people get together and start virtue signaling left and right and center, it becomes a very slippery slope.
Yeah.
And it becomes a very funny and fun slope, right? And then Lark Tattoo Albany has issued a statement. And the first line of their statement is, "Dear friends, the digital age is a difficult one. With communication, media, technology, and information at our fingertips in an instant, it is nearly impossible to keep up. As a society, we have taken to a react now, think later course of action that often does not allow to differentiate fact from assumption." So, the whole reason why they're involved in this is because the expose came out, the big gist of the expose was not that the Proud Boys exist, not that they are virulent racists, which they are, the nationalists, racists, they love... It's like, it's weird, though, because it's also, like, they embrace, you know, the shit when you go to, like, Marshall's, you know, like, in the, stick with me.
I know you're going somewhere here.
And you've got, like, the clearance area where they have all, like, the toiletries for, like, 90% off, and there is always, like, beard butter and, like, mm-hmm. American Crew shampoo. And these are the dudes that buy that shit, yeah, like, wholesale. They're like, whoa, my God, this was great. And they buy, like, cheap cologne, stuff like that. Those are the Proud Boys.
The thing is, yeah, these dudes have existed for 20 years. I can, like, if you rewound me, if you took me and you put me back in time 15 years, I can point out these dudes. Like, the only difference is that they've got, like, a name now. They've got, like, an identity. Before, it was just, like, the dude with hair gel at the show. That was the only thing.
No, it's totally the same thing.
Tattoo hair gel guy. There he is. Yeah. One in every town. Okay.
Yep, yeah, a lot of bad tattoos, a lot of colored, like a lot of color tattoos.
Yeah, the guy fighting with the woman at the fucking, at Hollywood the Bar. That is the dude. Yes. You all know one.
Yeah, she does that walk away knowing and hoping and waiting for him to say come back or to follow her. And he doesn't, he goes back in. And that's when she knows it's over. She spends her time pacing back and forth in front, texting him, "I can't believe you throw this away so quickly." And then he's inside, like, whatever.
With his dudes.
Too drunk.
Fucking just trying to fucking reclaim masculinity.
Yeah, he's trying to reclaim masculinity, man. All right. Drunk times two. Okay. And he's like, you know, thank God we're right across the street from a racist stronghold, Lark Street Tattoo. So the whole thing was that this expose pointed out that Lark Tattoo employs three of these so-called Proud Boys, which they did.
And I bet there is no other tattoo parlor in Albany or otherwise that has a racist dude working at it. I bet not
definitely
at all.
Definitely not. And the funny thing was, it's like, now I do not support racism in any form, nor do I support nationalism. But I do think that it's funny, and the great part about this nation and world is that you can sit back, and as long as nobody's holding a knife to my throat, I can laugh. That's the true definition of freedom. And I think this shit was bananas funny. Because the best part was the one woman who was a proud boy, girl.
Oh, Jesus, what is that fucking, what's that psychological profile?
This is another onion layer, peeling back another layer of this onion. She ran a site, for proud boys, girls that support men, spouses, partners, lovers of proud boys who support their men in what they do, which is
a fucking troll come to life. I don't understand.
Like order like an ASP club off Amazon. Like you'll never
try
use
and
anyone.
Fucking iron their fucking brass knuckles into their back pockets so you could fucking see them even though they don't carry them.
Exactly. You'll order, cool. Or even if they
support this.
Yeah, they'll polish the brass knuckles that they wouldn't use if they were in a convenience store and it was getting robbed. They wouldn't use it.
Like it's probably weasels. Pakistani anyway.
Yeah, it's probably a baggie. I don't give a shit. You know, it's like, honestly, like it's very soft boys.
It's weird because it's given like, a chance. I don't, like, we've said racist four or five times here. I don't know anything about, like, their platform. I don't know if it's, like, I don't know what it is.
No.
It doesn't matter. Because it's, like, it's just, like, it's unorganized slop. A racist group generally has some sort of organization. Instead, this has, like, a fucking pomade. It's not the same thing.
Exactly. And Gavin McInnes is the, in the canon, and I know everybody knows at least a few people who are like this, and somebody, so whoever's listening might have even dated a few people like this. He is very much in the canon of super not hugged enough as a child. And in a real way, and to the point where maybe didn't even get his attention, never got his attention. So now it is his life's work, the centerpiece of his life and a career. He kind of lucked into Vice, sold his rights to Vice, made some money.
I was going to say, now he just... but like, that's what I was wondering before. Is this dude seeing any cash from the fact that Vice has like fucking scammed their way into being legitimate?
No, he's like the guy that sold Apple, like sold his share in Apple before it blew up.
You know what? I'd be a fucking vocal loon too if I did that. I'd be a true soapbox psycho if I was fucking dumb enough to do that.
I mean, I think it was initially even his idea when it first started out.
Oh, man, and that's great.
You know, when it first started out in, like, 08, and it was just like, hey, we talk these Brooklyn girls into showing their pussy.
Yeah.
And then also Johnny Ryan cartoons. And then that was pretty much it. And it was, like, 30 pages, and it was hardbound, and you're like, oh, okay. And now it's like, you know, Vice is, like, a legitimate news organization. They took over where Gawker left off, and whether or not it's snarky, that's all their whole thing.
You and I know somebody who has a fucking extremely fucking prestigious award they got from working at Vice. Well done, man.
Our man is going to film our Bo Greitz documentary.
Oh, that's great. Oh, get him on the horn. I'm sure he's super cheap and affordable for us.
No, I have another idea.
Great.
It's New York-centric. It'll only take a day.
Oh, perfect.
And goddamn, we have to do it. But, okay, so then social media takes over. There are a lot of young, woke people who I consider, some of them I consider friends, but they are very young and woke and reactionary, and they say, oh my God, I can't believe that I got tattooed at that place. I wish I could scrub my arm and get this tattoo off of me because that's how much I hate racism.
Well, they did use racist ink.
They did use the ink of dead black children.
That's actually kind of fascinating because that's always been an argument I've had, which is that, like, talking to somebody who's racist or listening to somebody who's racist speak, or listening to like racist music, or like watching Romper Stomper, you know, like shit like that, it doesn't make you racist by osmosis. In the same way that watching Jaws doesn't make you a shark by osmosis. Like, these are right. things that you, they enter the part of your brain that is dictated by logic, and you get to wrestle with them, and you get to go, well, that doesn't make any sense, and you get to reject it. And right. if there's things of content that you, that make sense to you, you get to take it and shape it into whatever makes sense. It's not racist think. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The ideology of the person who tattooed you doesn't make a difference at all. Not even a little bit. Doesn't matter. They could be full-on white separatists. They could have killed somebody with their car earlier that day. Doesn't impact your tattoo, you schmuck.
I can't believe, you know, if I knew that that person was such a reckless driver, I never would have been tattooed there. I mean, it's the ink. I mean, literally, the milk is spilled
yeah.
at that point, and I'm not sure why.
It is great cares. That there's no going back, though. I do like that. Like, if you're dumb enough to, like, get wound up over this kind of thing, I love that it's something you can't get off your body. That's pretty great.
They deleted their review section because there were some whoppers in there.
I tell you what, every person listening to this this podcast, I'll go on record as saying 80% of you listening to this podcast right now, if you have more than one tattoo, were tattooed by somebody racist. I'm just gonna go ahead and say definitely. That. I don't know what the probability is, but we'll give it a shot.
If you've ever been involved, if you've ever known, I dated somebody a long time ago who was a quote unquote receptionist at a tattoo parlor. Right? She was there. She was very attractive. She had lots of tattoos, and she was a quote unquote receptionist at a tattoo parlor, which meant that the owner would just fucking talk about fucking her all day.
Yep.
And,
how'd she pay for those tattoos?
Wow, you've got a lot of tattoos all of a sudden.
Well, it's like you got a new one every week. This is wild.
God damn, Wendy, you must be making great money because you are a receptionist at a tattoo parlor, which I mean, I'm not the fucking CEO of LinkedIn or anything, but I don't see how you would make a ton of money doing that yet.
Got a question, though? Seems like the atmosphere gets weird when I walk in to pick you up from work. Just seems like a little, I kind of like, feel like everyone's could. Laughing at me. But
right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's strange, right?
It's very odd.
I asked Todd to tattoo me, and he said maybe odd. It'd be better if we waited, but I didn't understand what that meant. I got a weird vibe. I don't know. Just a weird vibe.
And, you know, it's then when you pulled back when we were intimate after going to the bar one night, you pulled back to reveal the word bombshell tattooed right above your pussy. I was like, hold on a minute. Whoa. Who did Todd do this?
Was that racist, Todd?
God damn it. Man means Todd, so your labia minora majora. And she's like, well, no, I wore a merkin. I wore something to... And I said, well, was that before or after he...
I just had a cowboy saddle in the fucking shop. I just
had a Dallas Cowboys jersey.
Saddled up on that.
Had a Dallas Cowboys Emmitt Smith jersey I bunched up down there. He's like, oh, you got this Cowboys jersey. You gotta need it. Because I'm going down there. I'm going to tattoo bombshell. And then, whoops, I slipped. And my tongue is now on your clit.
Whoa.
And you're like, who was I to stop him? He's my boss.
It's not Emmitt Smith.
That's not Emmitt Smith. Then Emmitt Smith appeared. And he's like, oh,
I
man.
Know I when Emmitt Smith is going down on me. I know for sure. Even without opening my eyes, this is not Emmitt Smith.
This is not. Like, hey, you know, it would be really cool if you could just let Emmitt Smith go down on you because he's really he's gonna like seal this huge deal with the shop.
He's inexplicably like, here at this regional tattoo parlor.
Like, what is he doing in East Greenbush? That's cool, you know, East Greenbush, suburb of Albany, home to many weird tattoo parlors. All right, I mean, I barely know who Emma Smith is, but that's so. Well, yeah, what I need you to do is roll up this jersey and put it down there. So when he's about to do it, he finds it and he's like, oh man, I knew you were a fan. But I'm like, but I need you to keep your eyes closed the whole time.
Wow.
Even when you come. Because you know Ahmed is going to make you. Actually, I'm going to need you to come, like, even if you don't. Just because I need Ahmed to feel really good about this. And you're like, oh, okay.
How many times has that actual conversation happened? Like,
unbelievable.
When you get there, I need you to really come, you know?
I need you to really
I need you to really sell it.
Yeah, I need you to think back. Whatever gets you to the point where you can be comfortable, secure, safe, and able to have an actual real orgasm.
Please do it.
Please do it if for the sake of the shop.
This is fucking Magic Johnson we're talking about.
The management company that owns this fucking strip mall with a pizza place and a place that sells fucking gardening shit really needs their rent. We're 2 months behind back rent, and this Emmett Smith deal could totally help us out.
All right, so hold on. We're getting off in the weeds, though. You were in the middle of telling me about this woman who is clearly sleeping with her boss about forgetting for free tattoos of something, and then I lost the plot.
No, I just knew a long time ago, I knew a woman who worked as a receptionist at a tattoo place, and she definitely not only fucked this dude for tattoos, but what you brought up before I brought up, which is,
yeah, that's, I mean, that's
fairly implicit.
That's an Albany standard fucking situation. Yeah. Right there.
It's like, God, she's like, she's got sleeves and those are forget it. But the guy was a virulent racist.
Yeah, that's so fucking weird.
But in a, like, I'm not a racist, I just watch a lot of news type of racist. Like a dad, almost like a dadish racist. And this is sort of like the Proud Boys are like, we're not racist, we just think that Western culture rules. And that everywhere, if everywhere was westernized and white, that the world would be a better place. The
world's not that hot of a place. You're working at an Albany Tattoo. How good is your life?
Yeah. I mean, you're one of the people in question when I would see him live in the he lived in like the same apartment building where like child molesters lived.
Yeah, like what is so what's going on, fucking Charles Bronson? Like, you would like, yeah. Why don't you handle the child molesting? Handle your neighbors first.
Right.
Deport them back to whatever fucking Slavic hellhole they came from, right?
Hey, the mentality is I live in a fucking apartment building where there's a man who, you know, at some point did something to either a child or raped a woman. But I'm okay with that. But if that fucking guy is working at that corner store again, I'm going to burn that fucking place down. Because he's taking jobs away from good Americans.
Who are That's dying to work at a corner store.
Dying. So this
I've
expose
seen one
came
fucking,
out.
One white guy working at a corner store was the guy from Clerks.
Yeah. Ever. Ever.
Ever.
And the guy at the corner store near me is so stressed out because everybody who comes in asks him for a discount.
That's cool.
They're like, God, man, these prices are too high. You're going to go out of business. Shit. Like, they come up with a bunch of shit. And he's like, okay, you know, $8 for, you know, whatever. You're going to go Weetabix and, like, toilet paper and, like, you know, beer and shit like that. He's like, $8. Damn.
Yeah, it's $4 and $4. You know that when you pick it up, you look at the price,
commerce.
Right?
Yeah. Like, if, you know, like when you go to a store, you got to maybe, you know, you got to pay for it and you got to pay the piper, you know? So it became a big deal to people. It was a lot of people's first opportunity to be very woke.
Yeah, that's cool.
And while I stand against racism and I stand against virulent racism and nationalism and everything else, and I just think that it's funny and stupid, I also stand against people who virtue signal in order to get laid, because I think that's also stupid. Like, yeah, and like, you know, not for nothing, but if any of my female allies would like to rise up with me
in my living room tonight,
Yeah, I'm live in my living room tonight with the lights turned down low. Maybe some restaurant lighting happening.
Oh, I always fucking light tea lights when I fucking when I rise against the system.
I always have tea tree oil in my diffuser when I'm about to fucking strike down not only Proud Boys but the patriarchy in general. I've got if you see, I have a blanket spread out on the floor with a few different, maybe some olives and some cheese, a bottle of wine, and I've got a you know, thank God Netflix exists because there's a whole host of movies we could watch.
No, but, I mean, I don't have my own Netflix account. I'm using my neighbor's Wi-Fi, so it gets a little choppy sometimes. Yeah, and this is Carlo Rossi wine, but it's still pretty good. I left it open so it would breathe.
Ignore my neighbor's Wi-Fi name. he's not like me. It's Big Dick Terry 69. It's like I come on belly 12, and it's like. You know, and there's just a little bit. There's such a beauty in that he, although he's a member of the patriarchy, and God, if I saw him on the street, it would be all I could do not to strike him down. Pulling out is a very woke thing to do. After asking, is this okay?
if you've checked that box on your consent app, then you're good.
You're like, okay, consent. It's like a consent game. It's like step four. You're about to nut.
These are legit things, consent apps. It's fascinating.
Yeah, is it really?
Yeah.
Does it talk about pulling out and
I don't know how many drop down boxes you get in these things. It's a little opaque to me. But
you've got your phone out and you're looking at the consent app while you're trying to hit it. That's a two hand job.
That's the trick. Is you have to like that means that you have to. Say, listen, I'd like to fucking go bone down with you, but I need you to log on here and enter your email address and do your fucking touch ID and then consent to this. And then we'll pretend that didn't happen and we'll go back to, we'll try and rekindle the romance, so to speak.
In a way, I mean, that seems a good idea, but also an extremely sleazy way for people to shirk responsibility or legal responsibility.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Present that in court and be like, you literally put your thumbprint on, like you, like you're signing a fucking like house contract. You put your thumbprint on sex.
It's a weird scene. I can see it in situations like. If you're with somebody who's into like some extreme fucking like rape fantasy or some shit like that, oh yeah, pull that consent out. Sure, that seems illogical for all parties. But
I just have that videotape running. I'd be like, you know, and be like, I'm into video. Oh, you're into rape fantasy? I'm into videotaping the whole fucking thing. So when
it's
the cops
really
come,
strange, right? Oh, you're into rape fantasies. I'm into fucking legalese. So I've got this myriad of contracts to sign. I've got a lawyer on speaker.
I'm into not wearing the red wristband in jail, which makes I'm not into fucking special population. Okay.
I'm a strictly gen pop kind of guy.
Yeah, I'm a gen pop guy. I'm not going to fulfill your fucking Bridge 9 board fantasy of getting raped with a knife to your throat. And then
Jesus
suddenly
Christ.
You're like, no fucking way. Let's just, I like old fashioned. Look, I'm like, hey, look, I'm an old fashioned guy.
Call me simple in that way. I'm a hillbilly.
I'm a hillbilly. Yeah, I don't like to
wave the gun around.
I'll even take my t-shirt off. It's just, you know. Well, I know where it goes. You know where it goes. And if we're cool, we're both consenting, cool, and you enjoy it to a point. You know, or we could, you know, do something sexy, shower together, whatever. But no. Rape. No. I know. Call me, and it's vanilla, and I know. And vanilla's not a bad thing. But, A, that kind of, like, mean shit, it's exhausting.
Yeah. No, I'm not with that shit at all.
Oh, I just want to fucking, you're a fucking horror.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't really call you that. But why is it your like why is it all of a sudden my fantasy to be like, you fucking sleazy whore?
Yeah, no.
I can't believe that you'd think that you could get me. And then you got me. And now we're here.
And now we are here.
And now we're here. I broke down your foundations and I made you do the unthinkable. What's our script again? Oh, sleep with your boss.
Big Dick Terry.
Big Dick Terry 69. Also from the famous Come on Belly 12. That's actually, it's like the Weathermen, the Come on Belly 12. It's like a freedom organization. That's the next. Well, there's the Proud Boys, and then there's the Come on Belly 12.
Yeah, it's
like, oh, these guys, you know, these guys.
Shades, like gradients.
Yeah, these guys, you know, they like to let the sperm fly, and they wear Fred Perry's. And, you know, I'm just, as a nation, we're tired of it.
All right, so
that's basically what it is. And then there was a big imbroglio, and then they revised and kept revising, because their first statement was obviously written by the proud girl who was the part-time receptionist there.
Very good.
And she's like, well, you know, you have to fucking deal with it. What is this, the McCarthy administration? And like, people, first of all, I'm not sure a lot of people remember or know. I'm not sure a lot of people pay attention in history class. I know what the McCarthy administration
is. That seems like a reference that people recognize as bad, but don't particularly care to dig deeper on. So I don't know. Maybe not your best choice.
Yeah, what? This feels like the Bay of Pigs invasion. Like really 50s and early 60s centric, like historical references. It's like, oh, man, I feel like Elia Kazan right now. What? I have to fucking Google it.
Hold on 1 second. Yeah, let me pull out my phone here. Jesus.
Yeah, God, I feel like Charlie Chaplin after I was ousted. Why? Oh, God damn, this person's using all the kinds of... Why can't you just say you feel bad?
This is
or feel
like
weird?
The Battle of Verdun. Fucking Jesus. God damn, God, man, how do you spell Verdun? Like, fuck.
This is like the Battle of Midway when the carrier got bombed out. And we almost didn't make it. Oh God! This is like when the Leathernecks hit Okinawa. Oh wow!
So is this place open or are they closed?
They're open for business, right, with Christmas lights in front. And but there were, I had imagined that there would be a picket line of people without tattoos, but who cared hard. So they'd be like, the signs would be like, if I were to get a tattoo, and believe me, you know, some point I will, I wouldn't go here, because they're in violation of woke rights, and goddamn if I'm going to let my skin be violated by racist ink.
Should I get a shitty tattoo there in 2 weeks just to show support for logic?
We should both get our overnight drive tattoos there.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, in our armpit.
Ugh, Jesus.
But we talk about, we have somebody filming, we talk about Proud Boys the whole time.
I'm like pretty proud, you know. Like I feel proud.
I'm just gonna say not for nothing. But when I leave this tattoo parlor, they still call it a parlor. Yeah, this tattoo shop. Okay, when I leave this tattoo shop, I'm gonna be fucking proud. If you know what I mean.
Why don't they call them parlors anymore? I'd much rather go to a parlor than a shop, right?
I would rather go to a parlor, but I would have to be I like a tattoo shop. I've hung out with many a people getting a tattoo, and it's a very boring time.
I think.
But
any time of my life I'm not in a parlor, I'd prefer to be in one, though.
Right.
Like a stuffed, or like a tattoo, a stuffed game bird.
Like a tattoo saloon.
A saloon sounds pretty good. Yeah, if I had to go to a bar or a saloon, trust, I want to go to the saloon.
Well, there's a saloon across the street called Club Hollywood, and it's got your name. It's got a ice-cold Corona with a lime in it.
Oh,
just for you,
Pat. That. I, you know. All the memories I have of going to Hollywood, this was on my walk home. It wasn't a desirable place to go. It was just a place where if you would go out to places that you might want to go, you would wind up there on the way. Or you'd be making plans like, oh, where's fucking Phil? Phil's at Hollywood. Ah, damn it. And we'd have to all go to Hollywood to see fucking Phil. You know, that shit. Of all the memories I have of that place, two stand out. One is my roommate dropping acid and screaming, don't fucking look at me, across the entire bar, causing the entire place to record scratch, which is not a fucking easy place to record scratch. Like, it's a loud-ass bar. and you and I and Gab sitting there watching the fucking Special Olympics, fucking, like, opening ceremonies.
How?
In full confusion.
Full confusion. And then a woman that I was with came up to me, and I was like, ooh.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Nice. So, yeah, those are my two Hollywood memories.
Yeah, that was something else. My Hollywood memories, one time I went there, and this was around the same time of the falling in the street with chicken wings. Oof. Chicken fingers. So it was, I...
You should go back and revisit that. I don't even remember which episode that was.
We should. You know what we should do? I had an idea, actually. We should do the Overnight Drive Bests, where, because we have such an odd schedule now, that I will, every week, I will put together like a half an hour clip show where we just do the bests.
Wow. Interesting. That's, yeah. That sounds like a great way to signal to people we're not doing this shit anymore. Like, here's another clip show.
It's like when Cheers does the clip show. Yeah. That's the NAMI. I can't believe it. No, I mean, we are just at pivotal moments in our lives that prevents us from doing the podcast all the time.
And we got a bunch coming up, though. We're in good shape because we got...
Yeah.
I'm away this week, but then the next week I'm good, and then the week after we can do a whole bunch.
We got that in person. We're going to do the annual summer in-person episodes, which always proved to be very good. Nick Workle will be back. He's already signed on.
Perfect. Nick Workle loaned us or rented us a bunch of gear for the show last night, so thank you, Nick Workle.
Really? I should have went. It would have been fun. Would
you
have been fun?
Honestly should have went. It was a great fucking show. It was a show you don't get them often that's just really rewarding for weirdos. It's really good. I really enjoy that shit.
So why would have I loved the show?
That's exactly why. It's just great for fucking weirdos. It's really good. I played fucking terribly, and I went through a bit of a mental breakdown halfway through the set, and I opted at the point where my pedal board died on me. I unplugged my guitar, and I heard a voice that was distinctly mine, but distinctly other than in my head. It was as though I was another person leaning over my shoulder, and I just said to myself, "I'm selling all this shit."
Wow.
And I said, yep. And I stood up and I plugged in my amp and that was that. So I could certainly have played better. I mean, I feel like I let people down. But other than that, I think the show was a lot of fun. Oxbow, a band that's always been in my orbit, haven't never really paid that much attention to, you know, kind of like you throw on in the background or some shit. Really, right. Really satisfying to watch.
Good. I should have went.
Should have went.
What could have been?
Short show, though. Very short.
Good. Those are the best kind.
Yeah,
shit.
It's nice.
Could have got some good pizza after.
You know what I did that I've never done before last night? You ever use the earplugs that are made of silicone?
Yes.
I like those things a lot. They're great.
Really? You can hear everything through your bones.
I'm all right with
but
that.
You're not killing your ears. Yeah. But you can have actual, like, the fucking ear orbital, the ear bones, the bones in your skull. Produce the sound instead, and your ear is just stuffed up. It's great.
It is really good shit. I got some left. I'm gonna try when I go up there. I'm gonna try them in the pool and see if they work as advertised.
I'm gonna do sit-ups from now till then, and then I will be able to swim.
Perfect.
You and I will swim together.
But yeah. So anyone who wants to buy my Music Man amp, man, fucking get at me.
Wow. Maybe me. No. Well,
you can do that shit whenever you like.
What about the guitar?
Guitar is staying. Guitar, I get buried with. But the guitar and the pedal steel stay with me. But I gave Alan Huck all the pedals. Because earlier at practice, he was Alan like, Huck. Oh, I think I'd like to maybe pick up one of those and try it. And I got so frustrated, I took out the two pedals that I wanted to retain. Handed him the bag. Like, here you go, man. Fucking Merry Christmas. Enjoy. Handed him like fucking $600 worth of pedals. Like, go for it.
Less pedals. No, less pedals and more
pedals. Yeah, less pedals.
Man. Way less pedals. All you young bucks out there using 15 pedals... This isn't Guitar Center, man. All right? Pick one. Pick two. Pick a tuner and then a pedal and then something else that's going to psychosomatically make you think your sound is better.
Yep. That's
or you could just get, you know, just fucking just be loud and good.
That's
and
the plan.
Get mic'd properly.
So I'm going to look for an amp that's obnoxious. That's my new goal. There's
like
some, they're out there.
Like an orange amp.
Well, that was actually one of the things that killed me, because at the practice space, we got in, and I needed two amps. I have two fucking instruments, so there was an orange amp just sitting there, and I plugged in and whatever, and played, and everything was fine, and it didn't occur to me until 30 seconds before we started playing, when I was like, punching the side of my amp trying to make it like fucking turn on and work, and like trying to just like tease out sound from like cables that are crackling and whatnot. How much fucking easier life was in that practice space. Even though I don't like the orange amp that much, it just made life so much fucking easier. So yeah, I'm gonna get something like an orange in that it's like simple and you don't have to think about it, but more obnoxious. I just haven't figured out which one it's going to be yet. I've got to go to guitar stores in Manhattan where they follow you around. You know, those kind of spots, not Sam mm-hmm. Ash, like the fucking, like the legit ones. There's the one I got to figure out. Yeah, there's one that you legitimately have to go into a building, go up to the roof, walk across the roof to the next building, and then walk down. And it's like, it's the real shit. You know, it's like, if they were selling guns, this is where they would fucking like arm the PLO. So that's on purpose. What's that?
I fucking hate that. It's so on purpose.
Of course. I would do the exact same thing. If I opened a bar, the shit you would have to go through to get there would be fantastic. My favorite bar in Brooklyn right now is, you have to make reservations to go in, which is great.
Ooh,
okay. And then you go in, and it's like a bodega that's not selling anything, and there's some fucking angry-looking woman there who asks for your reservation, and you tell her, and then she opens the door to a back room that's just, it's just a wooden bar that's built to sound really good. Like the walls are all wood and there's no parallel lines. Like everything's like a little bit off from each other. So it sounds like as far as rooms go, it sounds immaculate. And they just have like 3 Macintosh amps and you just play music. It's so nice. Great. It's beautiful. I love it.
Macintosh amps. Very expensive.
Yeah. So that's basically what I'm basically looking for the Macintosh version of a guitar amp. Something you can put up that people just go, oh, look at this fucking schmuck. Great. Great. Let's go get pizza.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get pizza. The real reason we came all the way to fucking Manhattan, apparently there's like a good pizza spot. So let's go. And then it isn't a good pizza spot. It's just an expensive pizza spot.
Correct.
And people haven't figured out the difference. It's a grease spot with vegan toppings. Give me a break. Give me a break. Anyway, sorry, man. It's my heart. It's my New York. Welcome to New York, man. Welcome. Speaking of welcome to New York, guess who we've got on the line?
Who's that?
The greatest Chippendale of all time, Michael Rapp.
Yes, you got to tell me about this. So what's going on?
We've watched Tall, Dark, and Handsome.
Which one was Michael Rapp, though? What was his musical number?
More Than a Photograph.
Oh, hell yeah. All right.
More Than a Photograph. He lives in Harlem. So, with the money that we've accumulated from T-shirts and from Patreon,
got to figure out where that all went.
PayPal.
I know it's being paid by PayPal. I don't know where, what account it's being paid to. We got to figure that out.
It's in some PayPal, but that's enough. We pick him up. Somebody films us interviewing him in a stretch limousine.
Wow,
that takes us to the Battery.
Pretty bold.
Takes us to the Battery and then to Central Park, where we say, Mike, thanks. One more thing. We'd love if we could just play throw and catch football with you.
What the fuck? Do you have a fever right now? What are you talking about?
I think it would be a great idea for an interview. You know?
Sure.
And then we would just interview minor cultural icons like Sinbad. People like that. Be like, before we drop you off, it's sort of apropos that we play a little football, run a couple routes, regardless of weather.
This is bizarre. That's bizarre. Okay, I'm with it.
The limo is great. I think the stretch limo would be awesome. We could really get him to stretch out, or we could just go to his house. That'd be weird and fun. But he's in.
That's great.
To figure out a time.
That's really cool.
And he's very responsive on Facebook. He's a man who is in the I kind of buttered him up by saying, well, which is true, but I said, you are the greatest at what you did. The greatest Chippendale of all time. Chippendales is a shell of its former self under new ownership. But at the time, he was the best to do it. In the most popular time for that organization. And so he's like the Joe Montana of Chippendales, but without, and probably without any of the money. So it's interesting.
That is interesting.
I love it. And I don't know what we're going to ask him, And he's on, he does a, every morning he does a Facebook Live thing on the way to the gym.
Great.
Where he's like, "What's up, guys? This is Michael Rapp. Just want to talk today about mindfulness."
Why don't instead do a video of Michael Rapp personal training you for an hour?
Perfect.
How good would that be?
You know what? Even better. And this is why our partnership lasts and lasts, because you, I have an idea, and then you always have that. Okay, well, that's a weird idea. Anyways, here's the good idea. That's basically our dynamic. That's our dynamic. If we ever, if we at any point in our lives we go into business, I'm going to have the bad idea, and you're going to build off the bad idea and be like, actually, we should do this.
That in many ways is my actual business right now. In fact, the, I've got so much fucking work I've got to do before I leave tomorrow, and all of that work could be boiled down to, okay, so here's the real idea. That's basically, I'm taking two things that are really super important to our business, like the kind of things I should have no ability to influence because I'm very dumb, and I'm changing them. Like, I am just like, okay, we're doing it this way now, and by the sounds of it, this like large multi-billion dollar company is gonna be like, cool, let's do that.
Let's
which
just
doesn't
do it.
Seem good, you know, like it, that seems
great.
It upsets me a great deal. So yeah, we'll see what happens. I hopefully I don't single-handedly fucking tank the chalk factory.
I think you'll be fine, and also, I think that you're going to be famous after this whole thing.
I doubt that highly.
I'm just trying to give you some positive reinforcement, man.
Appreciate that. I might be famous for getting my Proud Boys tattoo from Albany Tattoo, but...
God damn, I can't. No, don't get it twisted. It's not Albany Tattoo. It's Lark Street Tattoo.
Where's Albany Tattoo?
Albany Tattoo's downtown, totally different ballgame.
Is that still there? Wait, no, they, I thought they closed that. Or is that
no,
still
they changed their name to Modern Body Art.
Oh, gotcha. Interesting.
A cruel twist of irony and fate. Modern Body Art.
Interesting.
Andrew, I know you are pressed for time. I had a bunch of fun Stolen Valor videos lined up, and also some mall
like
reviews, however.
Oh.
Well,
well, to save the... Actually, we should be watching the fucking videos in person, because those sound fantastic. Actually.
Well, I've got mall reviews, and I've got missed connections. What do you want to do?
Let's do mall reviews. It's been a little while.
All right. This is actually funny. I chose the Oxford Valley Mall in Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
Excellent. Really
because
good.
Because of a trad... Well, yeah, it's great. It's right near Doylestown, and it is the right near the location of a mass murder committed in...
Did you play Doylestown with us?
I did. Many times.
Do you remember going on stage and saying, okay, Doylestown, where's the dark underbelly? Where's the seedy shit? Yo, it just bubbled
like
up.
A movie set.
We found
it. Just
it.
Bubbled up. I did. No, it just bubbled up. I remember because it looked like we were complaining. That's how fucking cynical we were. We were complaining that it was too palatial.
Yeah, there
too
was,
nice.
Wasn't enough street crime.
Yeah, I had to go. I had soiled my last pair of underwear, and I had to go to a Gap, and I bought a bunch of cheap underwear. And I was like, man, this place sucks. Anyway, so I picked Oxford Valley Mall because it is very close to its, the location of a quadruple murder committed over the course of 8 days. By this guy who kept conning young, like early 20-year-olds and late teenagers into weed deals. Where he'd be like, yeah, come to my family's farm and buy this pound of weed for $800. What a deal. And they'd come, and then he'd shoot them.
It's like,
and
it's bury not a lot
them
of money.
He'd bury them 12 feet underground with a backloader. You know, and the what got him was the the kids that drive their cars, like their shitty, what got him was a $500 1996 Nissan Maxima that he couldn't sell because he sold the other cars, like, no problem. Like, okay, dude, cash deal, here you go. Sold the cars. He couldn't sell this one shitbox car that this one weed dealer had. And the cops found the car and then found him and then almost foiled him. But... that was about 15 minutes away from Oxford Valley Mall. and that is in the beautiful town of Langhorne, Pennsylvania. And I've got some great... I'm going to start out with a great one-star review from Kathleen Ulrich, who said, I am absolutely disgusted. I have been taking my children for 5 years now to see Santa here. After tonight, I will never, ever...
Hot button issue of fucking mall Santa Clauses.
I fucking love Santas, right? Mall Santas are awesome. I have been taking my family for 5 years now. So other before that, she went to work another place, right? So she said, I have been taking my children for 5 years now to see Santa here. After tonight, I will never bring them there again, and I'll tell you why. Thank you, Kathleen. When I brought my children over to him, he didn't even look at my children, nor say hello to them. He looked at me instead. He proceeded to discuss an inappropriate conversation with a coworker. While my children sat briefly on his lap, I understand it's busy, but it's your job. If you don't like your job, then quit. Guarantee he doesn't like that job.
Why would he like that job?
This is the best part. Sir, this is an appeal to Santa. Sir, children look forward to seeing Santa, and unfortunately it was awful for them. The staff was rude too and seemed bored, all on their phones.
Weird.
Like, oh, shit. Also, the final straw was the whole showing of his naughty and nice tattoos. Now we have to explain to our little kids why Santa is covered in tattoos. Never again. Merry Christmas.
Wow. That's
then
great.
Someone says, why? But then someone says, why can't Santa have tattoos?
Yeah, what's wrong would with that?
Would you also have a problem if Santa was black, brown, yellow? Seems a little judgmental to me.
Yeah, what if Santa was a proud boy? Would you not be fucking sending your kids to see proud Santa?
Yeah, I would. Fred Perry, Santa.
Fred
Santa
Perry,
with a
Santa.
Fucking Santa with a white power haircut and a, like a big brown beard with beard butter in it. Being like, oh, just make sure only white kids here.
Everybody gets
white...
American Crew gel in their stockings.
I'm going to give you a big thing of American Crew gel, beard gel. Makes you look like, you know, I just want you to smell good while you're sharing the gospel of white supremacy. And also, you know, if you could, well, go on vice.com, that'd be great. Kathleen immediately gives Sarah a tongue lashing and says, you are overreacting. It's Santa. Santa is supposed to be kind and white.
Whoa!
Maybe he should learn how to do his job a bit more professional, have less tattoos, and be nice to the children. That is his job. That is all.
Wait, did she just say he should learn to be white?
Yes. No, he said...
Like, by reductive reasoning, she basically just said he has to learn to be white.
No, I said Santa is supposed to be kind and white.
Yeah.
Maybe he should learn to be a bit more professional at his job and be nice to the children. That is his job. And Sarah gives up and says, you're right.
Whoa.
So, I mean, she's like, you know what? You got a point.
Way to throw in the towel,
not,
Sarah.
Nah, this isn't the hill I want to die on. It's fine. I'm going to white Santa. It's totally fine. What a dump. Can't sit on the chairs on the lower level without punks tossing candy at people trying to relax after a hard day. Fuck this place. You'll be closed soon enough, I hope. Now, who are these people going to the mall to relax and unwind?
Yeah. Ugh.
I kind of love it. I really love it. You know, fuck it. These mall reviews are only... There's only a couple of them. I'm going to read... I'm going to switch over to Misconnections because I found a couple of really sad and funny ones that... Okay, so there are a lot of people who, for whatever reason, I think that maybe the holiday of July 4th brought out a lot of long-winded ones. So this one's called, But I Don't Want to Lose You.
Ooh.
The things that we have done are not even close to the things that I have planned for us. Send Daddy a reply with my favorite naughties. If I'm making mistakes that are pushing you away, please tell me, because I have so much more planned for us. I want to dig into you and pull every last bit of passion out of you.
Oh, you're going in the pig smoker.
Put your hand in mine, little girl. Let's do this. You're going in the pig smoker. You read about that
fucking
absolutely. Crime. Yes. Here's one, obviously written 2 days ago at 1:13 a.m. Hey, Lila, you still out there?
What, did your phone just lose connection? What are you doing?
Lila, you still there? Oh, Jesus. We had some good times, you and I know you know it. You were working at Dunkin' Donuts. You were 19, just turning 20. It's been about 4 years now. You might remember me. I brought over soda and chips to you one evening.
What in the fuck is happening here?
I really enjoyed your company. Missing you, winky smile. Let's meet up again soon. Lila, if Lila, you're out there, the most romantic man in the world who brought over soda and chips is ready for you.
This fucking toucher who brought fucking gas station food to you is looking for you.
Yeah, also, all you men out there, step up your game. If you're going over to a girl's house for the first time, you better bring some fucking, some wavy Lays.
Two liter
of Diet Mountain Dew. You're not going to get fucking base one. You're not even going to see a tip. Well, I wanted to fuck him, but he didn't bring his soda and chips.
Yeah, no, it's just not going to work for me.
I mean, duh. Like, hello, that's what you do. All right, there's one called Dark Side of the Moon, which is my favorite one. It's a little bit long, and I'm going to condense it for content. But this is a sad one. Everybody buckle up, maybe grab some... I was going to say tear gas, which I guess would work, but
that's
tissues.
A weird thing to grab, but all right.
Grab your sarin... Grab the tiny amount of sarin gas you keep for the apocalypse and just inhale deeply. I suppose you could consider me one of the many men who would like to think that this post was for them. Wait, what? Okay. That by some miracle, a drop of forgiveness is to be found. While I would like to think that those words were for me, if I wouldn't find it to be very believable, this person's illiterate. No, my girl still carries a hatred for me, I fear. Was it a mistake? I don't really know. I remember feeling like everything was right, and now looking back, I feel as if I were just drunk the whole time.
What the fuck?
Remembering things in flashes and moments, standing outside myself looking in, you might say. I know it's been 10 years.
Jesus.
I know it's been 10 years. There have been so many times I've wished that the friendship had been salvageable in some way. I think we both know that there's not much possible as much as we wish it. I do know that you miss me sometimes.
How do you know that?
A good laugh. You miss a good laugh for no reason, and let's face it, the sex was amazing. I will forever believe that you think of me as a shit, though. I haven't heard otherwise. So that will be how I believe you think of me for the rest of my days. That is a little crushing, but it is my own doing. Some days I wish I would bump into you, and then I'd be able to tell you everything that's been on my mind for the past 10 years.
That's okay.
I feel like we lived a movie that ended poorly. Wow, I would be sprinting away from this
question. Seriously?
You bump into him and like...
Renewing
fucking,
your passport right now.
Yeah, at the post office. You're like, thank God it's you, Lila. I have something to tell you that I've been holding in for 10 years. She's like, oh my God, I'm married. All right. I married Rich. He brings it all together and says, look, I don't hate you. I never did. Now that I think about it. Although I did. Although, let's face it, I was very angry at you.
Jesus.
I wish you all the best that life has to offer, and maybe someday we'll both see the bright side and purpose of our faithful encounter.
No.
I think that's kind of beautiful and like kind of eloquent.
No. No, you don't get that.
Are you sure? Here's another fucking really pathetic dude. And it's a long one. Look. Okay, this one's called Yankees Fans Only.
Oh, perfect. All right, hang on. Let me pull my chair up. Here we go.
There we go. Yankees Fans Only. This is obviously written by a now newly single Derek Jeter. I've sent you so many messages over the last month. I've just upgraded and finally realized that you haven't read a single word. Oh my God. So he upgraded his messenger, his Facebook messenger, and then he realized that she hasn't actually read any of the messages. It's very sad. God, I wish I knew why. It seems so odd and out of character that the woman I knew years ago It seems so out of character with a woman on New Year's ago. I sent this on a Craigslist, hoping it catches your attention.
So, wait, hold on, wait, whoa, time out.
Okay.
So direct messaging didn't work, so your next step was Craigslist.
Yeah, any port in a storm, man. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, direct action didn't work.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm going to do a little end around here. I'm going to do a little... I'm going to try a different angle.
Yeah, rather than the most directed, I'm going to do the most random possible outside of skywriting.
This is long, and this dude is very sad. If you, I'm really, because he writes a bunch of shit about miracles.
Oh,
imagine the love
fuck.
Story that we could be, and it's priceless. If I could choose to have the heart of any woman in the world, it would be yours. I'd pick you over any celebrity or supermodel every time. So that implies that you have more than one opportunity to fuck a celebrity or a supermodel.
Yeah, I would love to test that one.
Oh my God, Charlize Theron's at my housing complex in Clifton Park, and she's at my front door, and she's like, well, Todd,
Todd, can I call you Racist Todd? Okay.
Yeah, Racist Todd, look, you know and I know that, I don't even know why I'm here. I just need to be with a real person.
I was on the set of Atomic Blonde, and everyone told me not to come, but I had to come and see you, Racist Todd.
They warned me about Racist Todd, and I was like, I love him. And I came. I drove myself, if that tells you anything. I'm very rich. And I rented a car and drove here. And I want all of Victory Village to know. That's where he lives, Victory Village. I want all of Victory Village to know that Charlie Theron came and tried to fuck Racist Todd, and now you're telling me?
And that at that
somebody
point,
else?
The phone rings, and her name's on the caller ID. What do you do, it Racist says, Todd?
It says Yankee fan.
It's a Yankee fan, number one, at symbol.
At symbol. Oh, hold on, I gotta take this. She's like, are you serious? Oh, hey, Yankee. You're not gonna believe who's at my front door. If I told you, you wouldn't believe it. But Charlize Theron's at my front door. No. I know I know she's African American, but she's white. Don't worry about it. Yeah. She's from South Africa. Oh yeah. Okay. No, I'm still proud. Don't worry. Charlize, you're from South Africa, right? Yeah, you're from Pretoria. Okay, good. I'm just making sure because you know me to be a pretty bad racist, so I can't fuck any Africans. Pardon my French. Pardon my Afrikaans. Yankee fan, can I call you back? I mean, I just want this to be special, and I have an audience right now. Yeah, let me call you back in a second. I'm sorry. Oh, you saw the Craigslist ad. Oh, awesome. Oh my God, it worked. Oh, great. Okay, let me call you back. Charlize, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to let you go. I know you drove down here on your own dime. If you need, maybe I'll give you like $10. And she's like, can't believe it. She's like, ever since I flew here to Albany International Airport.
Which is not a great airport, by the way.
No, they have a coffee beanery instead of a Starbucks. It's like I went to a time warp. I said, against all odds, the only person in the world I want to touch me is Racist Todd. And now you're turning me down for... Honestly, I just want to talk. I hate that I have all these doubts in my mind and heart about what ifs. Deep down inside, I wonder if you carry those same feelings I have, Racist Todd. Why don't we just... You know what? From now on, all the misconnections, why don't we just have it addressed to Racist Todd.
I love that Racist Todd has become... He's starting to get his own fucking... storyline. Every time, if you ever go to a self-defense show and you don't have money to get in, there's always one guest list spot that we reserve for Racist Todd. But the trick is that you have to walk up to the bouncer and say, I'm on the list, what's your name? Racist Todd.
I will definitely do that.
So that's the trick. That's it. I don't know if we did it last night because we had a really limited guest list, but every show has Racist Todd on the guest list. So have at it, people.
So if I read this one in the purview of Racist Todd, it would sound something like this. Racist Todd, the glory hole is up. 5'8", 138 pounds, toned, and very good looking, 48 years old, with a glory hole.
Doesn't matter, it's a glory hole. Who cares what you look like? It's a glory hole.
Hey, Racist Todd, I just need you to send stats, age, and cock info. Straight is great. By the way, Racist Todd, poppers are a big plus if you have them.
Wow.
Pretty sweet, right?
It's a sweet deal. I think it's telling of how, where we are in the podcast storytelling thing, whereas you were telling the story of Charlize Theron and Racist Todd, I checked into my flight for tomorrow. full-on check-in, looking at my seat, like, oh, cool, I got an even more space seat, that's sick. Looks like I'm not sitting next to the intense man, which is cool, so it's great. I'm not sitting next to Racist Todd. So that's where we are. Just doing business over here.
That's great. I'm glad you can multitask like that.
I am going to have to pull the plug, though, so I can get back to doing real-life work. What do you get to plug this week?
Well, I have a little Bear Mattress tape coming out pretty soon. Keep the four new songs that nobody's ever heard before. They came out okay. I didn't try it super hard, but they came out okay. And
way to sell it.
You're still plugging away. Start my new job tomorrow. Clink, clink. It's going to be good.
Sick. Where's the job?
The job is in downtown Albany. And it's for a lobbying firm.
That's so sick.
And it is better money to do less work.
Should I hook you up with the fucking lobbyist at the Chalk Factory?
No.
Oh, all right.
I know that Chalk needs lobby, so maybe you could hook me up with that.
That's what I said. You said no.
No. Oh, I thought you said did you? Oh, yes, you can. For sure.
Interesting. I'll keep an eye out. All right, cool. Nothing to plug for me, but we will do this again next week, maybe? Some shit like that. I guess I should be smart and put this on a thumb drive so I can edit it later. That'd be pretty cool.
Please do.
All right, well, I will speak to you when I speak to you.
Wonderful.
All right.
And Andrew, it's been a pleasure, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
Be good.
Be
all right.
Be someone. Be somebody. Fool.
Well, hey, podcast listener, my name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. There is, I don't know. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show. Wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.